I just got a letter from one of my favorite people, George Ellis, who lives in Eagle River, Wisconsin. He writes, "When we moved out to this new house on the Wisconsin River, I started feeding the birds, of course. The two or three pair of mourning doves that wintered here, I fed on the picnic table over the winter. This became a battle of timing to get the food to the doves before the deer cleaned it off. 2 summers ago, I built an elevated feeder. I cut off a large dead maple at about 10 feet high. I built a stairway to the stars, actually to the top of the cutoff tree, and attached a 48 by 48 marine plywood board. This feeder tree was in the middle of a large, thick copse of balsam that circles the north side of our yard. It's crescent-shaped and approximately 80 by 40, and borders on a slough on the north side. I painted everything I wanted to thaw black. It was a success. I went from about 15 doves on the picnic table to 25 doves the first year. This year I have over 50. It's impossible to get an accurate count because of the size of the feeder and the balsams that hide many. They feed in shifts. Of course, in March they vanish into the hinterlands, and I have only 2 or 3 pair nesting nearby. Below 0 nights, I must be out early, except if the sun is out. In that case, they fly across the river to the tall pines on the west side and soak up heat and then come and eat. They never become tame at all. Of course, my large German shorthair pointer is disconcerting when she charges into the balsams after a red squirrel. The first autumn I noticed a grackle hanging around long after his relatives were south. I knew he must have lost his ability to migrate, but otherwise he looked fairly healthy. He made it through that first winter living with the doves. I lost track of him this summer in the multitudes. This fall, he's there again. He never did leave. He's a prize of a bird, apparently in good health. I wish I could band him to see if he or she mates here. These mourning doves are something else, though. Why they want to stay up here with their cold feet is a good question. They only started appearing up here about 20 years ago. I heard my first one in March 1984. I thought I was hearing things, but there he was. Since then, they've grown into quite a large population. Living on a not well-traveled part of the river proves to be a great place to watch birds. In May and June, it's warbler heaven. There's a good cross-section of birds. Of course, with the high banks over the river, we have quite a few orioles. And that's my report for the year. P.S. We have a plethora of blue jays. That was George Ellis, and I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.